I have a rule. If a customer asks us more than two questions, we respond with a video. We mention them by name, and we mention the questions we're answering for them. We know when they watch the video, they can share the video, and immediately they know that somebody's behind that email.
Have you ever wondered what the top insurance agents are doing to grow their book of business exponentially each and every month? I've personally grown my own agency to multiple locations and dozens of agents over the past 20 years, learning from the industry's leading experts and applying what they've taught me to my own agency. And now, I've invited these same experts to share their industry-leading secrets with you. My name is Jim Schubert, and welcome to Agents Growth Academy.
Welcome to Agents Growth Academy. Class is now in session. I hope you're ready to grow big or go home. I've got the man in, we'll call him pink, salmon, orange, whatever it looks like on your screen if you're watching this. The man, the myth, legend, Chris Green from Flood Insurance Guru. He's the owner, the founder of Flood Insurance Guru, where he provides coverage for now and education for the future. After buying a house in a flood zone 12 years ago and having a terrible experience with it, he spent the last 12 years helping property owners, real estate agents, investors, business owners avoid the same thing that he went through. He's a good storyteller. We were talking off air a little bit about story brand, and he is, in my mind, the content master. So welcome to Agents Growth Academy, Chris Green. What's up, my friend?
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah. I'm excited you're here. Where'd you get that snazzy jacket?
I got it at Kohl's this weekend. I was trying it on as a joke, as a tribute to David Crothers, my buddy, for his 50th birthday. And I was just taking pictures, you know, tagging. And then I liked the jacket so much, I actually went back and got it the next day and said, look, I think this will pop out in our interviews, it'll pop out in our videos a little bit. It's outside our brand colors, but it's something different, especially when you add the black.
Dude, like, you need anything to pop out. Like, the first time I met you in Kansas City, like a year and a half ago, whenever that was, you popped right out. I think you came over and I don't remember if you bear hugged me or like almost broke my hand shaking it. It was a super, super charged, introduction. So no, I'm excited. So listen, content creation for you know, Flood Insurance Guru. When I think of Chris Green and Flood Insurance Guru, you have put out a monumental amount of content. And one thing that I'm big on is create, captivate, and communicate. If you can do those things with your audience, you will win the day. You seem to have won the day. Was there an epiphany for you, or like an aha moment where you said, okay, I'm going to do this thing and I need to do it through content creation?
Yeah. So it was actually back in 2018 when I was still in the PNC world and we were dabbing in flood. Like, look, do we go full fledged, whatever? Taking Nicholas Ayers' Major League Video course. And he says, hey, you know, just do video for 30 days and let's just see what happens. Like, consistently 30 days. Well, I had done like 10, 15 days. I'd been doing video before this. I just hadn't been doing this consistently. So at the end of the 30 days, I saw a massive engagement in our business. I mean, I'd been shooting videos in my daughter's dollhouse talking about roof coverage. I mean, I was, you know, really kind of trying to get into some creative things. At the end of the 30 days, I saw a big impact. I said, you know what? I said, for the next year, we're going to do a different flood education video every day, and we're going to travel the country doing it. And as we got into the year and we started doing it, I started blogging, I started podcasting, and we started getting all these questions. I said, you know what? We're walking away from PNC completely, and we're going to do flood only. You know, so we walked away basically from $1 million book of business. And so we're going to build this thing, and we're going to build it with Marcus Sheridan's They Ask You Answer, is what I started out with. We're going to answer our customers' questions. We're going to obsess of them. We're going to be willing to do the things on our website that no one else is. If I'm answering someone's question, generally I'm going to be standing in their neighborhood addressing their issue. I'm not going to be standing in front of a green screen. So I got through 2019, you know, 365 days and 365 videos in 365 days was great. I actually did an article with Insurance Journal on it, but we got to the end of the year and people kept asking us questions. I said, let's just keep this thing going. Well, I got the 500. Still kept getting questions. So I ended up finishing this thing earlier this year at 1,500 videos in 1,500 days. I'm still doing video every day during the week, usually.
Yeah.
I usually have some posts on our YouTube, you know, shorts and things like that. I'm not doing it on the weekends and all that stuff anymore, but I didn't have a good strategy at first. So strategy was terrible. I created all this content. Meeting with the SEO person for a website, I said, look, you've done the hard work. You just haven't connected the dots. And so now we're reverse engineering our content strategy with, hey, how do we connect these dots? If this customer is viewing this, how do we make sure the next piece they get is the exact piece they need? Not just some random video, but how do we really bring them to that journey? And so I'm really reverse engineering that with the content, with story brand, working with our story brand coaches, whether with the messaging and everything of, hey, how do we ask simple, stupid questions on our YouTube channel? Like, what is flood insurance?
Yeah.
Things that we assume that people know. But usually there's nobody out there answering the question. And so that's what we've been doing for the last 5 years. We've created about 5,000 pieces of information over that period. And now we're actually building unique learning centers for real estate agents, insurance agents, loan officers, property owners, and real estate investors that only apply to them, or they don't have to go and search to a bunch of information that doesn't relate to them.
So that's a lot to unpack. But before we move any further, what impact has that had on your business itself?
I'll be honest, I'm transparent with people. When I was in PNC, we never made more than probably $12,000 a month in revenue.
Yeah.
In flood, we probably average around $75,000 a month in revenue now.
$75,000. Wow.
Yeah, in revenue. And I said, you know, the goal was to get above that. But one of the reasons is that the way we're answering the question, when the customer picks up the phone to call us, a lot of times it's to give us our credit card information. Look, you sent me a video proposal. I was on your YouTube channel. I read your blogs. Like, you've literally answered every question I had. I'm ready to buy.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Well, I'm curious, where are you getting the most traffic? Is it from YouTube, your blogs, or somewhere else?
A lot of it's from my blogs, but when I tell people this about YouTube, our average age of our YouTube subscriber is 72 years old, and they've watched 5 videos, and they've read 2 blogs before they pick up the phone to call us. And they're usually calling us because, hey, you sent me the insurance proposal, answered all my questions. You had a video explaining to me exactly what the next steps are. I've already filled out the finalization form on your website. Just need to go ahead and give the credit card information.
You had me except for 72 years old. That's an interesting demographic. I wouldn't have expected that.
No, and people overlook the older crowd. Look, things like YouTube, they're going to it because they want the answer to a question.
Yeah.
Actually, the older crowd uses it more than the younger crowd does.
Yeah. Wow. That's really interesting. Fascinating.
But the other thing is, you know, when we have a customer go down the street to a competitor, for example, they're like, wait a minute, the competitor's saying that they're the expert and all this stuff, but you're showing me actually how to solve the problem. You're clearly the expert here, not them. Mm. And we let the customer figure that out.
Yeah.
You know, the competition can tell them, we're this, we're that. Look, we're going to provide you what you need. We're going to provide all these eBooks, things you need to know before purchasing insurance, questions to ask. And they're like, wait a minute, the people down the street are not telling me to ask those things.
Yeah.
And that's usually when they come back to us and say, look, you know, we're going to do business with you because you're actually helping us solve the problem. Everybody else is just begging us for their business.
Yeah. Well, that's a brilliant way to put it. I mean, it truly is about solving problems. And like you said, you started out with just asking, hey, what questions do you have? So how did you tell me a little bit about that backup? How did you get people telling you what questions they had so that you knew what to answer?
So I actually put it on the form on our website. What's the biggest problem you're having with flood insurance?
Okay.
And they actually will write a book sometimes. And when we call them back, we can address the problem immediately.
Yeah.
Or when we send them an insurance proposal, we can put it into the proposal. Hey, here's the problem you told us you were having. Here's the solution that we've got below for you. Here are 3 simple steps to put that solution in place so that you can get back to living life.
Wow. That's beautiful. Kind of makes me want to cry, man. It's so simple. Tell me a little bit about story brand. And I know what it is, you know what it is, but for those who are listening or watching, hadn't heard about that, what is it and why is that important for what you're doing?
It's clarifying the message and it's simplifying the message. And I'll tell you something that one of the YouTube mastermind groups I'm in teaches reverse engineering, and story brands kind of taught me that as well. But we're going back and reverse engineering every single process inside of our agency, all the way down to our phones. Somebody in the group got mad at me. They said, you know, how do we be successful in this hard market? And I said, answer the phones. And they're like, don't be a jerk. I said, I'm not being a jerk. I'm serious. Think about it. How many missed calls do you have on your phone system? Are you calling those people back? Those are the kinds of things I have reverse engineered in our company. Mm. Everybody missed call. I don't care if it's a mortgage company. Everybody gets a call back. You know, we have increased deals 25% simply by calling people back because they didn't want to leave a message. Wow. Or maybe someone wasn't available. But that's something people miss. And that's something StoryBrand has taught me, though, is, hey, how do we clarify the message and simplify it so that we don't overwhelm the customer? Things as simple as a script on the phone, as simple as an email or a text message. Story brand will be part of every single thing we do, every part of messaging. We will simplify, we will clarify the communication internally and externally.
Your clients deserve an easier way to pay their insurance premium. ePay Policy is the simplest solution for insurance agents to collect credit card and ACH payments, speed up reconciliation, bind policies faster, and provide an experience customers love with powerful tools that make insurance payments a breeze. With customizable payment pages, a company dashboard, and integration with your AMS or CRM, you'll be in payments heaven. Get paid faster. Visit epaypolicy.com to learn more. So, and for those who don't know, StoryBrand is a book written by Donald Miller, but it's also a concept, right? And you told me that you're taking flying lessons with him?
No, it's called Flight School. So I've
When you said that, here. I was like, dude, seriously?
No, he calls it Flight School. There's a book back here he recently released, and I recommend any business owner to get it because let's be honest, most agency owners suck as business owners because nobody ever taught us. And it's called How to Grow a Small Business. It goes through six areas. It teaches you, hey, these are the five bank accounts you should have, one for taxes, one for profit, you know, how to fly the airplane. This is the marketing side. This is the sales side. This is the cash flow side. You know, what he talks about is like, look, where most business owners get in trouble is the jet runs out of fuel and you have to circle the airplane for a while. I mean, circle the airport. Guess what happens when you run out of fuel? You had a crash. That's where your reserve cash flow is there in case you have to circle the airport. Things get slow in a hard market, whatever.
Yeah.
Having those funds there because you put them away, it just is part of the process through the years that you don't have to worry about that. Now you survive when others don't.
Yeah.
You know, his big thing, as I said, you know, don't overrun the human brain. Yeah. Here's the problem. Here's the solution. Here are three steps to put in place. Just like when someone says, hey, we have 50 insurance options, immediately the human brain shuts down. That is too much for me to process. We have options to 100 different carriers. I don't care if you have access to 100 carriers. I want to know that you have access to the three carriers or three options I need.
Yeah. Brilliant. I love it.
And so, as I said, you know, I hired 5-star story brand coaches. We have a copywriter who has been phenomenal. Probably the best copywriter in the story brand community because I even went and verified. Look, I just want to make sure we're making the right decision or you know, you can't be there. We went and decided to do a new logo to really make things clarify things, simplify.
I saw that, by the way. It looks good.
Thanks. We hired the same company to help us with a brand guide and colors. And then we hired a designer for the website, mixed with our development team, a story brand SEO coach and data scientist to help us understand, hey, where are we losing customers on the website? Where do we need to adjust things on the website? Things from the bottom move to the top, vice versa. Like, where are we losing them? You know, where can we localize content? Maybe where our competition's not. You know, your competition may be creating content for the state. Let's go create content for the zip code and just blow them out of the water.
Yeah.
So those are things that StoryBrand's teaching me. Now, as I said, it's a process you go through, but honestly, I think I'll keep most of our StoryBrand coaches forever. Like with our copywriter, I do coaching calls with her once a month, just going through email writing, understand the controlling idea and all these different things. This morning, I had her go through one of our flood risk assessment tools on our website. Say, hey, I just want to focus on the copy. So we focused on the copy and we actually wrote an automated follow-up email when they submit the form.
Wow. That's awesome. I love the automation, but off air, you were telling me just what was the tool that you're using to like chop up your content into micro content?
It's called Get Munch.
Get Munch.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. You can do it for TikTok. You can do it for YouTube, whatever. You select it right there. That's actually where all my LinkedIn content's coming from right now.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to HubSpot and generating a blog to go with it.
It's beautiful. So, you know, thinking about like the people who are listening to the show are agents, agency owners, and they're trying to think, okay, like he's got flood insurance. How could I do this? What could I possibly do as an independent agent who's maybe trying to go after either a particular niche of business or a particular, you know, coverage that they want to double down on? Like, what would your advice be to somebody who wants to start that process?
My first recommendation would probably be to go out and do some research and make sure there's enough demand for it. You don't want to get into a niche where there's no demand or there's no, you know, you're not going to be able to sell policies because it's something so rare that never comes up. Now, honestly, most people probably would have said that about flood outside the coast. Actually, most people tell me like, look, it's not going to work. You're going to fail. There's not enough demand for it. Well, guess what happens? If there's not enough demand, you've got to find a way to create demand by letting people know they have a problem. Before they know they have a problem. If you mm-hmm. can do that, you can be successful. Whatever. I mean, I don't care if it's auto insurance, it's home insurance. Just be consistent with it. Answer those questions.
Sure.
Because I promise you that there's questions that might be answered out there, but there's a different way for you to answer it. You haven't answered it. Maybe they've answered it from their point of view.
Yeah. That's or a good point.
Reaction videos is a big thing that my YouTube coach is teaching me now. Hey, do a video reacting to this particular video. You know, do a video reacting to changes in the insurance market, these insurance carriers moving out of state. Hey, how's that going to impact you? Hmm. You know, different things like that are easy ways to create content.
Yeah. Yeah. And something you said too is like the fact that no one else is going to tell it like you tell it. You have your own perspective. You have your own life experience. You have your own stories and you have your own clients that have their own stories that can trump anything anybody else is trying to do. Even if somebody's already, like if somebody said, I want to go after cyber, that's all I want to do. You say, well, somebody's already doing it. Well, it doesn't matter. Like they're not doing it the way you do it. You know, I mean, when I got into the podcasting arena for insurance, you know, James Jenkins, like he was one of my first guests and he's a great guy. I love him to death. When he gives me hugs, he really does crush my spine. He's a massive man. I appreciate that. But he took me to task after we hit end on the first recording. And, cause I said, hey, you know, who should I have as my next guest? And he was like, well, what's your show about? And I was like, dude, we just recorded a whole episode. And like, long story short, he was basically like, Jim, you need to figure out what the purpose of this is. What does this look like 10 years from now?
Yep.
And not only that, like, how can you do it differently than everybody else? There's already a lot of insurance podcasts out there. How are you going to be different?
And I'll tell you this, this will go back to agency owners. Here's the problem. Most agency owners and agencies, they don't know their target audience.
Yeah.
They don't know their purpose and they don't know who they want to serve. Or more importantly, they don't know who they don't want to serve. And they're so afraid to say it on their website. Hey, if this is you, and I say it on our YouTube channel, if I'm talking to homeowners or real estate owners, this video is for you. If you don't follow this audience, this video is not for you.
Yeah.
Disqualify them right away.
Yeah.
So you're not wasting your time with tire kickers, but right away people respect you more because, hey, I know I'm not a good fit for that agency. Hey, I don't do non-standard auto insurance. Hey, if your insurance has lapsed in the last 6 months, you're looking for insurance, we're not a good fit for you, but here, here's someone who might be.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're so afraid to turn things away sometimes that, you know, our same thing with our team. Oh, I want to do this. I said, well, you got to think about it. You know, long term, 10 years from now, is that really what's going to get us there? Is that part of our purpose? Because all the time people, oh, you should offer commercial insurance. You should offer home insurance. Look, if I go and offer all these things, A, it's going to take away from the value of what we offer in flood. It's going to take our focus away from that. It's going to honestly take away from what we're really good at.
Yeah.
As long as we all have flood insurance, I have a company called The Flood Professor, where I actually teach continuing education to insurance agents, real estate agents, and loan officers. I have a flood consulting company where we do mitigation projects and flood zone changes. If it's flood, we do it, but that's just kind of developed off the flood insurance.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have time to do those things if we were trying to do home insurance and auto insurance. And honestly, we probably wouldn't make as much revenue either because of all the changes that are happening right now.
Know what you're good at and double down on it, right? Yeah. That's brilliant. I love it. What's next for you? What's exciting that you're working on right now? Besides like the story brand stuff, or is that it? Is that like what you're fully engaged in right now?
Yeah, I'm talking like fully engaged in it until 3 o'clock in the morning every night right now. Like writing the blog, like getting the blogs out, updating our blogs. But no, I mean, we're story branding from the top of the organizations to the bottom, combined with they ask you answer. And so first of all, hey, let's make sure the website's here. Hey, when a lead comes in, what's the first thing that happens? Are they getting a phone call from our team? Are they explaining the next steps? Yes, they're getting an email. You know, perfecting that process of when a lead comes in, just creating an incredible experience. I love it when our team calls them and the form is filled out. They're like, holy cow, I submitted the form to someone else 5 days ago and they still haven't called me back. You called me within 2 minutes. Like really obsessing over those things and reverse engineering that process. Hey, what does this process look like? What does this process look like of renewal? What does the process look to get something as simple as a Google review? Literally, that's what I'm obsessing over right now with our team is, hey, I've got to perfect the process. By perfecting the process, I'm bringing in the leads. I just need you to wow the customer. And what I also tell my team is, hey, look, there's three T's that one of my YouTube coaches taught me, and it's called things take time.
Yeah.
They're like, they beat themselves up because of results. I said, don't. I said, if you focus on the process, you'll never have to worry about results. There's two things in this world we can control every day. That's our attitude and our effort. Those are what I call controllable variables. Let's not worry about moratoriums and things like that. They're out of our control.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. You know, I think about
like, did our team? Hey, did you send a video welcome to a customer, just introducing yourself? Maybe that's why the business didn't close. Like, the business normally didn't close because we didn't follow the process. It wasn't the result. It was getting to the result that we had a problem with.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, hyper focusing on process is something that I've quite candidly have been challenged with. And our head of administration and finance in our agency, she is all about process. Sometimes I feel like to a fault, but so often it comes down to, you know, I want to move so fast on something. And she's like, whoa, we got to develop a process for this. Otherwise, you know, how many people we have in our agency, we're spread out. Like, they're going to be doing things all different ways. If we don't have the one way, you know, the SSI way or whatever it is that we're doing it.
And that's actually why we created playbooks. Like, I tell them, I say, look, whether you've been with us 2 days or 20 years, you can go straight to playbooks, know the exact process, but you can also explain the exact answer to the customer. So when the customer calls in, they get the same response every time. That's one of the biggest frustrations for customers. I got 20 different responses. Heck, that's a problem we have with the federal government when we call FEMA. We're getting a different response every time, and it's so frustrating. Yeah. Creating that universal response for the customer, but now we're also creating a unique experience for the customer and the employee. So we're story branding internally, externally, where we're doing they ask you answer internally and externally, because what we're doing is we're answering the questions our team is asking us. We're creating playbooks for it. We're making their jobs easier every day.
So what does a playbook actually look like for those who haven't experienced that before?
I mean, all it is like a guy-by-document. For example, what is an agency fee? And it's an explanation of what an agency fee is.
Okay.
Hey, so how do I like cancel a resource tool with this carrier?
Yeah.
Or who takes this risk? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, can we, you know, will flood cover this? Literally anything you can think of is inside the playbook.
Yeah. Now, is anybody else on your team also creating content, or are you the sole content creator? I'm the sole content creator right now,
but we just hired someone who will be creating content because I've really taught her how to use video the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And she was with another agency that actually had some layoffs and kind of worked out well that we finally got her come on board, and I'll eventually probably develop her into our business development manager.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But what will happen, once we get story brand implemented, then she'll be meeting with our story brand coaches probably four times a month on coaching calls of, hey, they'll work with her. Hey, if you're going to be doing commercial, residential, whatever, the coaches are only focusing on you and what you're doing. Nothing else outside that.
Yeah. It sounds like you've got it locked in. Like, you're laser focused on exactly what you're doing.
That's actually what story brand coach says, because I've never seen someone, who's so passionate, but they're so focused on the process and critiquing it and just, you know, really about what the customer thinks about the through the whole process.
Yeah. And it does it all in a pink jacket. Holy cow.
And a poop hat sometimes, but I haven't worn it in a while.
Why is that?
I'm just transitioning the brand a little bit. Like I tell people, sometimes it's time, you know, it's time for the brand to grow up a little bit. I use a little bit still on my YouTube channel. Just like I used to wear a hat backwards and a t-shirt. And my wife was like, hey, why'd you change the logo? So I built that logo 5 years ago when I just started our company. It wasn't that professional. And sometimes the brand just has to transition and grow up. And that's what we're doing with the logo. That's what we're doing with story brand. And we're just naturally developing just like a child to an adolescent to an adult.
Isn't it funny how over time you can actually watch a business grow like it is a human being? It is a living, breathing entity that changes over time and can obviously put you through, like, I have three teenagers now, essentially. My youngest is 12, but she's practically a teenager.
Yeah.
And it's like the hell they put you through, but you learn from it. You grow from it. And I'm sure, that's one question I'd ask you is, like, what's one of the biggest mistakes you've made that you've learned from through this whole process?
No content strategy.
Okay.
That's the biggest thing. And not hiring coaches.
Okay. Tell me about no content strategy.
I would hire a coach day one because, you know, we've always had this goal of, hey, how do we generate $1 million in revenue a year? Well, guess what? We, instead of struggling for 3-4 years, we could have put that money into a coach and probably done away with a lot of that struggle.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Mindset of thinking of things as an expense versus an investment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, our people are investments. Story brand is an investment. It's not an expense.
Yeah.
Phone system even really is an investment, not an expense.
Yeah. And especially the people.
I hate to say it, probably my CPA is an investment, not an expense.
You don't want to make their head get too big.
But those are it's really a mindset change of expense versus an investment. Not what's going to happen tomorrow. What's going to happen in the next 10 years? What am I doing today and tomorrow to get me to the next 10 years?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Because
we have a team of about 7 VAs now in the Philippines, and then we've got basically 3 licensed people here in the U.S.
That's right. You were one of the first people I talked to that had really gone all in on VAs when I met you a couple of years ago. Tell me about your journey with that. How has that helped you guys grow?
I'm going to give CoverDesk a huge plug here. So I'll tell you, I originally got VAs on my own back in like 2018.
Yeah.
Tried to do it on my own. Hired somebody. It didn't work out. Paid them for the whole month. Say, hey, it didn't work out. Here's pay for a whole month. It ended up hacking our PayPal account somehow because that's how I paid them. Hacked into my Microsoft Office, ended up trying to pay themselves $2,000 through our PayPal. It just so happens that I was on the phone with PayPal and they could track the IP address. We had to get the Philippine government involved and everything. Well, Andy Priestman at CoverDesk walked me through this whole process of, hey, here's how you correctly pay it. You know, here's the process. So I ended up using CoverDesk for 4.5 years. Now, don't use them today. It has nothing to do negative with them. What happened was I was building a house. I had a custom cost, and I actually had built a contact with one person over there. And so we just went to that one person and, you know, that we had at the time because we couldn't use their VAs, of course, because of our contract with them. So we had to let them stay with CoverDesk. And we basically just hired people within their circle or people similar to them. Maybe someone who lost their job as a school teacher. Or what we would do is we would go to Online Jobs PH and we would hire people who had experience with HubSpot, which was our CRM. We felt like that was the hardest learning curve. So if we could take that off the table, we could really do well. So now we have a kind of a content writer that helps us a lot over there, really a VA manager. Mm-hmm. We've got a renewal specialist. We've got a quoter. We've got a phone specialist. I've got 2 video editors over there.
Wow. Holy cow.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, like I send my videos out to my editor. They only edit 1 video a day, but they do a pretty good job. Send it back to me. Then I throw it in to get munch. We got our shorts. We got all that stuff. And so they're just editing 1 video a day. I get my blog ready. I take it to my content manager, say, hey, we need to add images, make sure tags and all this stuff is done. He messages me, says, hey, it's ready to publish. I got a presentation to make. My content writer will go and write that presentation for independent insurance associations for me. He said, hey, here's your 3-hour PowerPoint presentation that you needed. Or even for my wife who works on her master's. She needs help with something. Hey, I can't figure out how to use Canva in this. She goes straight to our VA team and they'll help her with it.
Yeah.
But I also tell our team this. I said, look, you're here in the U.S., they're in the Philippines. There is no difference between the two of you. We will be on video with each other throughout the day. And we will not treat each other different because they're over there. They have a different role. It doesn't make you any better than them. In fact, they may be more of a crucial role than you are.
Sure.
And I even have one of our VA on board our new employees when they're learning HubSpot. I've had one of my VAs teaching them HubSpot the last 3 days. And she's like, man, they're so good. Like I said, well, they used to be school teachers and they lost their job during COVID. And that's how a lot of them ended up coming to us. Or we look for people who were former school teachers. One reason is that English is very good. What most people don't know is over there, actually, English is the native language. There is another language over there. But the reason English is because they know that eventually one day they're probably going to end up in call centers or something like that. So they teach English throughout school and everything else. And so I have actually obsessed over accents and things like that. Now, I have found some people with accents aren't that good, but their work ethic is phenomenal. And so we have them on the back end.
Yeah. Wow.
And when we hire a licensed person, we go and hire a VA to go with them. And they are a team together.
Wow. Man, you're kind of blowing my mind with some of this stuff. I mean, the amount of outsourcing that you're doing, I mean, you can call it outsourcing, but I love the way that you humanize it. I mean, it doesn't matter that they're on the other side of the world. Like they are still human beings that are doing a damn good job for you and probably better than some of your other people that are here, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, and like, guess what? Just like our team here in the U.S., they get a week of vacation every quarter.
Yeah. Wow.
That's a requirement. Hey, you got to take your week of vacation every quarter. That's part of our mental health plan here is you got to take a week of vacation every quarter.
Wow. It's fantastic, man. You're a darn good human being. I appreciate you.
Thanks. I've learned the hard way. You know, Grant Bottman has taught me that through his book. It's not about your paycheck.
Yeah.
You know, I've learned a lot of that through Story Brand of, you know, just being, I hate to use the word manager.
Yeah.
Being a better leader, manager, but, you know, really trying to be in their shoes. As I said, not treat them like an expense, treat them like an investment.
And I think we could all take that advice as far as
like paying people,
treating people like an investment.
Oh, I got away with paying them this. No,
yeah.
Pay them what they're really worth. Overpay them, and I promise you, you may never lose them.
Yeah.
Like my office manager or my commercial personnel, she goes, you don't understand how much I enjoy working here. And I guess one reason is because I removed commission from our organization about 4 years ago. So it's not sales driven. Instead, everybody gets a base salary. Everybody gets a portion of company revenue. So as the company grows, so does the paychecks of our entire team. And so they're always looking out for healthy company growth, things like Google reviews. And, you know, we still do bonuses when we hit certain levels and things like that. But they don't feel the pressure. Oh, if I can't sell, I can't go on vacation because I can't sell this policy. What happens when I'm on vacation? No. Or what happens if I'm working on these two big commercial policies? Who's going to handle this other stuff? And that's why our team is set up with account managers. It's like, look, here's our company goal. I don't care how we get there. We're going to get there. And here's the process we're going to follow to get us there. You could be working on something big over here, and I'm working on a ton of small stuff, so you can get that big thing done. Like my commercial lines manager, who's working maybe on five big commercial accounts that may get us to that goal this month. But I got to work on these small things with our other team members so that she can help us get us there. Or like I'm working on StoryBrand right now. They understand that. Hey, this is the process that's going to get us there because he's working on this. I got to work on this over here. That's why I tell people, if you're the best salesperson in the world, you're probably not a good fit for our organization because we're such a team player organization.
It sounds like it. And it sounds like with the pressure that you're taking off of them from the sales perspective, it really does almost force them to work more in a team together if their compensation increases or bonuses are coming from team growth.
They still
have
to close the business. Like I tell them, like, look, we still got to close business or we're going to have to close the doors. I mean, it is what it is. But
sure.
What I tell people is we're an educational organization that owns an insurance agency. When we take that approach, sales are going to take care of itself. If we follow the process of following up people correctly, like our team sent out an email and said, hey, I want to follow up with you on those quotes from last week. And I said, look, I almost threw up in my mouth when I saw that email. She's like, wow. I said, one, we could have automated that. Two, there was absolutely no emotional connection or personalization. I said, worst case scenario, what you should have done was send out a video saying that. Because at least then they see your face, they know who you are, and now you've built an emotional connection with them. Because I have a rule. If a customer asks us more than two questions, we respond with a video. Hmm. We mention them by name, and we mention the questions we're answering for them. We know when they watch the video, they can share the video, and immediately they know that somebody's behind that email.
This is brilliant. I don't know if you can see me. Like I keep reaching forward because every time you say something that's a golden nugget, I hit M on my keyboard to mark it for later. And so like you keep hitting me with all these amazing, these amazing points, man.
I hire people who have experience with good referral partners. For example, I love hiring people who have State Farm experience because when a State Farm agent calls and says, look, this is a struggle we're having on flood. Mm. But I know I've been there. I worked inside of a State Farm agency, maybe an Allstate agency, maybe someone who used to be a mortgage lender. Look, I understand how stressful the process can be. I used to work in the industry. I immediately can identify. I like hiring people who experienced a flood claim or some kind of water damage in their property. So when a customer calls in, they can do a little storytelling. They can show them that. Just like when people come to me and I say, look, I know how you feel. I bought a house in a flood zone. I did a flood zone change on my personal property, and that's exactly what I've been doing for the last 12 years is helping these people with these flood zone changes. It shows them the authority, shows them the empathy, but it also shows them that they're in the right place for someone to help them.
Yeah. It's brilliant. I love what you said about being an educational organization
that offers
insurance. That's what a brilliant
way
to look at it.
So that used to be our tagline, and then our story brand coach said, look, I understand your education, but what happens is you can't forget why people will come to you. So let's go with something different. So I came up with Coverage for Now, Education for the Future. And she joked with me. She goes, I feel like you should send me a check. I said, you probably should at $400 an hour. I'd really appreciate it. She goes, no, that's a great tagline. And she goes, I didn't even help you with it. You came up with it on your own.
You're a big boy now, Chris. Good job.
Because she's got a course going on. She goes, look, you don't need my course. Like the way you're developing with StoryBrand, you're going to be a StoryBrand God one day.
Wow. Is that one of your goals?
And I would say my goal was, but I feel like I will naturally transition there of not necessarily helping insurance agents, but look, our ideal audience with real estate agents and loan officers, the way we build stuff out, naturally we may become a coach and help them down that journey. Look, we went down this a few years ago. Just like I'll eventually probably create a content creation course. Look, here's the case study of our company over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Or here's why you should trademark a company. And here's how you go through the process. Here's what happened to me and how it cost me almost $75,000 over a 4-year period.
Wow. Yeah. God, you got so much going on, man. I don't know how you, do you only function on like 2 hours of sleep every night?
I usually go to bed about 3. I'll roll into the office about 10:30.
Oh my gosh.
I tell people I only work 10 to 3. I just do it twice a day. Because I work in 7 time zones.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So I'm very strict with our mental health plan, and that is that our team works 9 to 5. I don't care what zip code you're in. Generally, you work 9 to 5. I think we have one person works 8 to 5. If someone comes in outside the hours, our VA team who works over those hours either handles it or I handle it.
Yeah.
That's the whole work-life balance for them. I said, you're not going to stress about, oh, something didn't come in. No, let the person behind you. And that's the reason why we hire people in different time zones. Mm. It's the reason why we have a lot of teams in Alabama is that they're available from 10 to 6, 9 to 5, their time.
Yeah.
We've got someone, I mean, where there are VAs who are quoting until 8 p.m. at night. And so that when they come back in the next morning, things are ready to go.
Yeah. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. You know, you put a lot of emphasis on mental health. Is there something that, like some event or something that kind of happened in your agency that you decided, like, well, this is really important for us?
Home. I wasn't getting the human interaction, and that's why video is so important. But what I've realized is, too, you know, we lost a really good team member, and I feel like I didn't focus enough on the mental health. We weren't on video enough with them. I wasn't engaging enough. Great team member, you know, was with us for 2.5 years, you know, took a corporate job. But I feel like that was kind of some of the lessons I learned. I wasn't a good enough leader there. I didn't help them grow. And it's something I really try to focus on. But working from home, if you're not on video like this, if you're not, you know, interacting with people on video, you look down and you haven't seen anybody in 6 weeks and you become depressed.
Yeah.
That's why I tell them, hey, look, part of the condition is you have to leave for an hour at lunch every day.
Yeah.
I don't care if you go walk the dog, you go have lunch. Me personally, I go have lunch at the same deli almost every day of the week, you know, interact with everybody. But for me, it's about getting out and having a human interaction.
Yeah.
And it's something I've been more self-aware of, but most people aren't, especially if you've never worked from home.
Sure.
And it's to say you don't have kids and you're not interacting with those people. I see people that cut off. And for example, I have a family member that we would probably hire to be a content manager, but they really strive to be around people. And I feel that mental health would be a really big struggle for them being remote because they would cut people off. And I'm like, look, I think that would put you in a worse mental health situation.
Yeah.
And so when people come on board, I say, look, you only work 9 to 5. You've got to have an office with a door. And that's got nothing to do with micromanaging. What that's got to do is when you close that door, work here, home there. You're not working from the kitchen table. You're not working from the dining table and associating work with those things. You're taking an hour lunch break. You're taking a week of vacation, usually every quarter except for the fourth quarter because we have a lot of breaks.
Yeah.
So that you can get that mental health break.
Yeah. You're doing it right, man. I love it. It's fantastic. I can keep going on with you forever on this stuff.
Yeah,
I do want to get into the rapid fire round. I feel like you've given me so many golden nuggets to go back and highlight and probably put through Get Munch, but I just made it easier for myself by marking all of them. So I'm pretty excited about that. What's one piece of technology or software you can't live without? You talked a lot about different things.
HubSpot.
Okay. Yeah. I thought you were going to say that. Tell me what it is. I've never used it before.
HubSpot, with my talk, let's compare something like Agency Zoom maybe, or I want to say better agency, maybe a different level. Agency Zoom, maybe more of a CRM. What I tell people is HubSpot or Salesforce is more like an ecosystem.
Okay.
You can have your website. Literally, you can have everything in it. I don't think the Agency Zoom is that level yet. Maybe they will be, now that Vertafore bought them and they're developing them. Mm-hmm. People say, oh, it's just a CRM. I said, no, it's an ecosystem. Literally, our team doesn't have to leave at all. Phone calls come in through HubSpot. Everything with our website through HubSpot. Our blogging, our SEO recommendations. Literally, we don't have, the only thing we have to use HubSpot not for is checking a carrier's website for something.
Okay.
Emails, fax, Facebook Messenger. Somebody messages on Facebook, it's coming in the HubSpot in the conversations. LinkedIn, you send me a message there, it's coming through HubSpot. We're communicating through HubSpot and it's going back out. I built our own AMS inside of HubSpot.
You built your own AMS?
I built my own apps because we didn't do downloads. So I built the policy part inside of HubSpot using custom objects. So when we win a deal, it goes over, it automatically creates a policy with that policy number. 90 days before it's scheduled to renew, it creates a new renewal deal where we start working that renewal deal. Wow. And then at the expiration date, it changes that from an active policy to an inactive policy and archives it.
Wow. Jeez, man.
I mean, and that's why to our team, I said, look, we spend the first 2 weeks when I'm onboard somebody, teach them HubSpot. Yeah. Because we literally use it for everything. Like, that's how I have Vidyard built in, where someone watches a video on my website. I know that they watched this video and they read this blog and they downloaded this ebook. So when I follow up with them, that gives me, all right, you're basically telling me that you're in the process of purchasing flood insurance in Huntsville, Alabama, because you read the Huntsville blog, you downloaded this book, and you watched another video on the guide to Huntsville flood insurance. So I call them and say, look, pretty good deal. You're probably looking for flood insurance in Huntsville. Yeah, I am. And then they feel like they can identify with them better. You know, our team can go through there and look at all that data and know, oh, a customer's like, hey, you never sent me this. You know, we sent it on this day and this day and this day. You opened up the DocuSign here, or PandaDoc, which is what we use.
Yeah.
We put everything in there. We're switching our insurance proposals to something called Quiller, which is more website based.
Okay.
But all that data is pushed into HubSpot. So we know when people view it.
Yeah.
We know when they accept their proposal. So now our team can pick up the phone and say, hey, this is the onboarding team at Flood Insurance Guru. Just give me a call to start the process of completing your flood insurance policy.
Wow.
Or someone opens an email, clicks an email, a video five times. Hey, I noticed that you watched this video a few times. Are there some questions I can answer for you? Or maybe they do open an email and we just send them a general email back. Hey, just want to follow up. Oh, I'm glad you followed up. I was looking for this. And they feel like we can almost read their minds.
It sounds like it needs to be rebranded as stalker.com.
Yeah, I was talking about it. The data is great. And the development they're using with AI, for example,
yeah,
the conversations, you know, one of my new team members, she goes, I think it's so amazing that I can write a conversation to a customer and decide if I want to send it in friendly mode, professional mode, or even a witty mode. And I can reword it using content AI.
Yeah.
It's how they have everything built into it.
That's beautiful. I said, no, it's great.
I said, I use it every day to reword my emails because I'll just start writing and things don't flow right. And I go to the AI tool and I let it rewrite it for me.
You sound like Mark Twain all of a sudden.
No, it's great. It just flows a little better. It sounds a little maybe more professional.
No, I totally agree. Using AI, what little I have, it definitely is just speeds up the process more than anything to help you get where you're trying to go faster.
When I tell people, look, AI is not the tool belt. It's a tool in the tool belt.
Yeah.
The people who use it as a tool belt are the people who will get left behind because a lot of it's not accurate. We still need to humanize it.
Yep.
Like people who write a blog, the blog will be general. But what we do is we go back and we have very local cities. We research, hey, what are the suburbs in this area? What are the flood prone areas? Like, I get so local with our content that it's not even funny.
Yeah. It's awesome.
We love, my team loves HubSpot. It went down a little bit today, but like we have a joke. If it didn't happen in HubSpot, it didn't happen. And that's what I tell them. I said, look, if you didn't put it in HubSpot, I don't know. Like, just like when our calls come in, the recorded call that we use right now through AirCall, call comes in, message comes in, it's automatically recorded onto the customer's profile. Don't have to do anything. If I'm on the phone and I want to make a note on their file, I do it from the mobile app and it automatically downloads in the HubSpot.
Wow, man. That's pretty slick. All right. I'm definitely going to check it out. I know they're based out of Boston, which was where I went to school. So,
and everybody asked me my bill with HubSpot. Said, look, my bill with HubSpot now is about $3,500. And that's because I've added Operations Hub. And what that means is I can take any other app and basically can do anything I want with it because Operations Hub now has custom code. And so I can go and do whatever I need to. If I need a workflow done that for example, DocuSign does not have out there, I can do it with Operations Hub because of the custom code.
Yeah. God, that's awesome. That's awesome.
I built HubDB tables. So like for our referral partners, each referral partner has their own link and they have their check your flood zone in there. And so when they submit it, we have an email address in that HubDB table and automatically sends a response back to them in that email address. You know how many deals are being submitted through that. Like I used HubDB. All the information on our learning centers is done through HubDB, which is basically just huge spreadsheets inside of HubSpot. And it's pulling that data and it's pulling the filters, all this different stuff.
Wow.
I go way deeper than most people do. But I think, you know, HubSpot is probably one of the best CRMs out there. And I tell people, our ecosystems, and I tell people it's because they listen to their customer and they're constantly making these changes.
And you don't think that from an insurance perspective, like insurance industry perspective, you're missing out on anything that some of these others that are built for our industry would be able to give you?
I'm not, because I don't, as I said, we don't have downloads on flood really. And that was literally the only thing we were missing. What I tell people is that, look, I'll put HubSpot against any AMS you have all day long and we'll run circles.
Yeah.
My one reason is they may be really good at this, but they're not good at this.
Yeah.
They may be able to have recorded phone calls. They're not able to add all these AI tools yet. They're not able to implement their website in there. Like, you know, it's just a different kind of system.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it's David Carruthers' fault that I'm broke. He got me into it many, many years ago.
Yeah, I thought he used that too. Okay.
Yeah. He does. Yeah. So David jokes and he says, look, if you like what I do with HubSpot, then Chris is like a ninja on it. And even he has a HubSpot coach that helps him with all stuff. And I try to get his HubSpot coach to help me. I said, no, you're way past me. Like, I can't help you. Because we literally have conversations every week.
That's funny.
Like AI forecasting sales now based on conversations that have happened between text, phone, and like some really cool tools like that. Yeah.
Wow. That's way in the weeds, man. But that's pretty cool.
Or like pulling, you know, for example, have you ever heard of Hazard Hub?
No.
All right. So Hazard Hub is actually one of the biggest risk data companies out there for insurance companies. What it does, it tells you like your fire. It tells you your ratings. Hey, what year was the house built? The flood risk score, all this stuff. Well, we take that data and we pull it into HubSpot and we display it on a dynamic page. So when a customer requests a flood risk verification, right away they know if flood insurance is required, what floods on the property is in, how close to water they are, and what their estimated premium is instantly because it's the way it's pulling API data.
Yeah.
And then our team, and that goes in there when they're quoting it, they know what year it was built. They know the foundation type, all this different stuff. And so they're not researching that information. So now a quote time of 45 minutes may turn into 20 minutes.
Wow. Jeez, man. That's insane.
And then look, I'm pushing like a million pieces of data in there, but I'm only displaying about 10 pieces of data in front of each team member. And it's the exact 10 pieces of data that they need. For a customer, it's usually 3 pieces of information and that's it. Like, look, when they're trying to figure out their flood risk verification, they don't need to know the replacement cost of the property yet.
Yeah.
All they care about, hey, is flood insurance going to be required? And how much is it going to cost me per month?
Yeah.
At that time. And what their overall flood risk is, which is 0 to 100 on a score that we built that basically tells people no matter what flood zone you're in, here are the actual chances of your property flooding.
Wow. That's pretty cool, man.
So we're working with a lot of the API, different API, real estate API companies, pulling all this data in and then just displaying it to customers and creating this incredible experience for them.
That's awesome. All right, I got another rapid fire question for you. Rapid fire is hard with you because you want to go deep, and I love it. I will let you go and go and go. But one book that you're reading right now or that you've read recently that you just have to share with folks?
They Ask You Answer. I've read it 38 times.
What?
And it would actually probably be 2 books. It would also be building a not building a story brand, marketing made simple by story brand.
Ah, okay. Also by Donald Miller or?
Also by Donald Miller. He has 3 books, actually like 4 books. He's got How to Grow a Small Business. He's got Story Brand, Business Made Simple, and Marketing Made Simple. Now, an important thing is Marketing Made Simple also has a podcast. The first 8 episodes of the podcast is basically the book. And he talks about your messaging on your website, you know, building that website, not just to convert and all this different stuff. But today's actually Wednesday, which means one's out. They've had a series out the last 6 weeks of how to build a sales funnel. And what they do is they give you one nugget in each podcast. It says, hey, go to this link, download the free sales funnel, step-by-step guide.
Yeah. Cool. Love it. What's one piece of advice you would give to your younger self?
Think of things as an investment, not an expense. Take the risk earlier rather than later. And that's how my wife all the time, look, I basically just gambled a whole company on StoryBrand.
Yeah.
Like, I got sick. I had congestive heart failure last November.
Wow.
And lost feeling in my legs and my feet. They told me I had about 7 days to live had I not gotten to the hospital.
Jeez,
and I ended up losing my vision about 60 days after that, completely in my left eye, 40% of my right eye. Told me, you're probably never going to get your vision back. Wow. Because what happened is the congestive heart failure set my diabetes fast forward 25 years. And when it did, it took my vision, caused bleeding blood vessels. Well, I've had 6-inch injections put in my eyes every month for the last 8 months. I've had laser treatment done. And my vision went from 2100 to 2020. And I finally got it back. And then I was diagnosed with chronic kidney disease.
Oh my
gosh. I started to lose my vision again because they stopped the shots. So I got to go back and get them again.
Yeah.
But in doing all that, what happened is I couldn't travel. And the way we were making a lot of our revenue was I was traveling speaking.
Yeah.
So we lost 70% of our revenue this year. And so I took a huge gamble with StoryBrand. I made this huge investment about a website and all this. I said, look, I'm making this investment because this is where I envision as being in the next 5-10 years.
Yeah.
This is not about tomorrow. This is like, how do we survive in this hard market, the way things are changing with AI and all this?
Yeah.
How do we survive the next, not just the next 10 years? How do we thrive the next 10 years?
Yeah.
How do we create an environment that people really want to come to work and enjoy what they're doing every day?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we lost 70% of our revenue. And I did a podcast with Kerry Wallace about what happens when a small business owner gets sick.
Yeah. That's an important one because I mean, you know, it's like the shoemaker's kids never have shoes, like the insurance, you know, like do you have the right insurance, or not even the right insurance, but what kind of plan do you have in place for when people get sick or get knocked out and can't perform? Yeah.
And once that also goes back to why we hire VA to go with a team member that may has to be out. Yeah. The VA can keep the job going about 80% and the 20% could be broken up.
Yeah. Brilliant, man. Brilliant. I'm glad to hear that you're on the mend from the other stuff. I hope that this is going to
I am. I lost 60 pounds in about 3 weeks.
Goodness.
Yeah, holy I had so much swelling on my body that I went from 259 down to right at 200. And the doctor even weighed me three times and even checked my numbers three times. He said, look, in my 30 years, I've never seen this happen.
Wow.
He said, I didn't realize you had that much swelling on your body, but I've never had someone lose that amount of weight in 3 weeks.
Dang, man. Wow. Well, you look good now.
Yeah, I'd gotten to a point. I couldn't get dressed. I had so much swelling on my body.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, we're all lucky to have you here, man. What's one final piece of advice or an actionable step that you would leave our listeners with today based
just
on what we're
doing? Just do it. Like, you know, everybody overwhelms or I don't know where to start. Just start.
Yeah.
Video. I'm not sure what tomorrow's video is going to be about. Shoot today's video.
Yeah.
You know, just go, you know, whatever action, plan of action you're putting in place, put it actually in place. What I tell people is this, look, the greatest idea in your head, the worst plan in place is better than the greatest idea in your head. Because at least the worst plan in place you're going to learn from. You're not going to learn from the greatest idea in your head because you never put it in place.
Yeah. Sound advice, my friend. Sound advice. Chris, if people want to get more of you in their lives because they just can't, they can't go 2 minutes longer without having more Chris Green in their lives, where do they go? Where do they connect with you?
They can connect to me on my website, floodinsuranceguru.com. YouTube channel is the same thing. You can even email me, flood@floodinsuranceguru.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, find me on Facebook. Those are usually the places I hang out. I'm usually cooking something different, trying about one of my 12 grills on Facebook. Because that's actually how we generate a lot of our insurance business, actually, is through our Facebook page with the different cooking things that I do.
Oh, that's cool, man. What's your favorite thing to cook?
Actually, David Carruthers got me into making bacon a few months ago.
Making
I really
bacon.
Enjoy the whole process of making bacon. It's a 10-day process. But it's just, it goes back to really enjoying process.
Oh, that's funny. Wow.
Yeah.
It really is all encompassing in your life.
But honestly,
isn't it?
Sous vide is probably my favorite too. He got me into sous vide. He got me into a vacuum sealer. My wife is like, he's the reason we've been broke. So it's an ongoing joke that if my wife ever sees him, she's going to break his leg.
David!
Yeah. So, but like, you know, I love a sous vide because I can throw dinner in it at 4 o'clock and throw it on the grill for 5 minutes and it's perfect.
That's phenomenal. I love it. Chris, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on today, man. I think this is going to be super, super valuable. With the amount of times that I hit M on my keyboard, man, I'm telling you, there's a lot of good stuff in here. So I really appreciate
you. Thanks for
having
me, man.
Yeah, absolutely. You stick around with me for a second, but for everybody else, until next time, grow big or go home. See ya.
If you like this or any other episodes of Agents Growth Academy podcast, make sure you rate it. And if you want to take ownership over your own growth, come join us for free over at agentsgrowthacademy.com.